We've been looking at a topic called moving forward. Moving forward. So I'm going to bring that series to a close this morning as we look at the story in the Bible about people who, like us, they were super excited. It was beginning of the year, crossover service, and God gave them a word saying, you're going to move forward this year. Everybody's excited. They've got their new, they had their New Year resolutions all, you know, written. Some people typed it on their iPad or their phone. And every morning you look at those things and like, yeah, I'm moving forward this year. These are the things that I want to do. These are the things that God's going to do in my life. And like us, they were super excited. But something happened along the way that for most of them, it cut short this excitement that they felt. I'm going to read a story about Israel. So just a back story of this. So Israel, as a nation, had been in captivity in Egypt for over 400 years. Then Moses comes along, he's sent by God, and Moses tells them that God has sent me to give you this message and to bring you out of Egypt to a land that he has promised you. So they were excited and they, you know, shouted. They went through a lot of things to get out of Egypt, if you read Exodus. But that's not the point I want to focus on this morning. They experienced some challenges. They did some things that were not exactly nice. God, you know, was a bit angry with them. So they went through a long journey in their walk with God. Ups and downs, but, you know, they still carried on. Now, they now got to a place where God now says, okay, we're at a point where you are looking at the promised land. This is the promised land that I have spoken about so extensively. Now, you guys need to go and take this land that I spoke about and that I have given you. So they were at a point, it was a tipping point for them. Everything that they had been doing led up to this moment. It led up to this moment, and it was like, man, finally, all the things that God has been speaking about, I can see them. I have the opportunity to see them happen in my life. Then Moses now says, okay, he picks 12 people representing the 12 tribes of Israel, one person per tribe. And he says, okay, this promised land that I'm taking you to, 12 of you, these 12 men representing the 12 tribes, you guys go into this land and spy it out. Bring back reports to us of what it looks like. Do you get what I mean? What it looks like. Come and tell us about it. So the same thing God tells us, or he gives us a view of what lies ahead of us as individuals. And he says, look, for you, your promised land might be different from the other person's promised land. Your expectations might be different from me, from mine. You know, for some people, their expectation, and I'm going to be a bit cheeky here, is I am going to get 20 dresses in different colors by March. Everybody has different expectations. It might be an expectation that, okay, in terms of my career, this is what I want to do, my aspirations. In terms of my life, my relationship with my family, or it's different for everybody, but we all have these expectations. And God now begins to prompt your heart that, look, this thing that is an expectation of yours that you want to move forward with, now is the time that I want you to make a move and begin to experience those things. Tipping point. That was the case of this story, which I'm going to read now. All right, so this was the case of the children of Israel. They were facing the promised land, what God had spoken to them about. And God now sent these spies, said, go, tell us what it is about. Tell us what you can see. Come back, give us the news so we can go and move into this promised land. That is the backdrop of the story. I'm going to read this morning from Numbers 13. It's quite a long read, by the way. Numbers 13, 17 to 21, and 26 to 33. Numbers 13. I'll start. I'm reading the NIV version. It says, when Moses sent them to explore Canaan, Canaan was this promised land that God promised them, go up through Negev and onto the hill country. See what the land is like, whether the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? What kind of towns do they live in? Are they walled or fortified? How is the soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are there trees in it or not? Do your best to bring back some fruit of the land. It was the season of the first ripe grapes. So they went and explored the land from the desert of Zin as far as Rehob towards Lebo Hamath. So these guys, Moses tells them, go and explore the land. Bring back what you see there. Tell us. Do you get what I mean? And they go. It's the same thing with us. You're imagining what your future would look like. You're imagining, wow, if this thing that I'm praying about can be accomplished, this is what my future is going to look like. This is what I'm going to experience. This is what my child, my cousin, my friends, and you're, in your own case, in my case, you're imagining what that future is like. You're experiencing in the moment, in your thoughts, what your future could be like these guys. Moses sends them out, and they go. Then I'll go to verse 26 of the same Numbers chapter 13. I'll read from 26 to 33. Then they came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. They now come back. We've been in the land. We've seen what it's like. And what do they begin to say? It says, they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. So when they went into that land, they brought grapes. I saw this movie once. I don't know. I'm sure that what I saw wasn't AI generated. And in this movie, they had like massive grapes that they brought. It was like, man, do these kinds of things exist in real life? So they come back and they report these things to Moses. It says they showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey. Here is the fruit. Then they begin to say a number of other things. But the people who live there are powerful. The cities are fortified and very large. We saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in Negev. The Hivites, the Jebusites, Amorites live in the hill country. And the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. Then the people begin to say, man, when we went there, the folks that were there, they weren't exactly kidding. They weren't just going to say, come, get our land, and we'll move out. No. So they began to say, Moses, when we went there, we saw these people in the land. And they began to describe them. I'm sure they almost said, Moses, you did not tell us that we were going to have to fight. You didn't tell us that these people were going to be there. We thought we'll just go there, and they'll say, oh, are you from Israel? Ah, no problem. I'll pack out of my five-mansion house, and oh, if you got, I don't have a swimming pool in this one, but the next house has a swimming pool, you might want to try that one. And they'll just say, okay, Israel people, we're going to leave everything for you now. No. They'll probably look at them and say, hang on, who are you? Where are you from? So they came back with this report that, yes, the land is as it should be. Fantastic. Well, well, we saw these obstacles there. I'm not quite sure how we're going to deal with that. Then they carry on as well. It says then, verse 30, Caleb silenced the people before Moses. So one of the spies that went, he says, we should go up and take possession of the land. We can certainly do it. So one of the 12 spies now says, okay, these things are there, these challenges are there, but we can do it. Now they carry on. The other men from verse 31 says, but the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. They spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land that they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw are like great size. We saw the Nehem, the descendants of Anak from Nehelam. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. So out of the 12 spies, 10 of them, so they were all, you know, they came back all standing in front of Moses. The children of Israel must have been excited, like, oh my goodness, when do we go? When is this thing going to happen? You know? Then they say, okay, the land is good. Then they begin to say, well, however, man, I don't think we can do it. And the 10 out of these 12 people began to outline all the obstacles of why they would not be able to go into the promised land that God had called them to. And it got so bad that the news spread in Israel, and they began to tell everybody, man, this Moses guy, he didn't tell us the truth. This land, we can't do it. And they begin to cry. They begin to say, our children are going to be killed. This Moses man he's been hyping us. He's been hyping us, telling us all the stories. Come to church on a Sunday, and Moses will be telling us, oh, it's the year of moving forward. Everybody say amen. This Moses guy, he's been hyping us. You know, we'll go to church, and imagine he'll be telling us this is the year of, what's that thing? This is the year of increase. That Moses guy, he's not telling us the truth. The reality of life is this. This is the reality of life. I get these red letter bills once in a while when I haven't paid my council tax. How do I face that? The reality of life is that things are difficult. The reality of life is that I'm experiencing hardship. All this, year of increase, all these things that pastor guy says. In fact, it's just that I like the way Pastor Benson plays guitar. If not, I'm not going to church again. It's hyping us. But obviously, you guys won't say that. So they just thought Moses had just set them up for a fall, really. And they looked each other in the eyes, 10 of them. They said, look, we can't do it. Let's just retire back to a normal life of no expectation. A normal life of no excitement. I just want to keep my expectations low so that I'm not disappointed. All this year of this, year of that. Leave that to Pastor Benson and those other folks. For me, let me just put my head down, not set myself up for false hope, do my thing every day, and all those things. Moses, nothing personal, but we're happy to just forfeit the promised land, forfeit every expectation that we had. It's too painful. I don't want to be disappointed. In fact, I don't think I can do it. Let me just be cool in my house. No trouble. Nobody troubles me. I don't trouble anyone, but don't hype me. Stop hyping me. You know, that was the position that they came to. And the sad thing is this. They had been through so much. They had seen God do so many things in their lives. But when it came to the reality of their actual expectation, they just couldn't move ahead. They couldn't. They were stuck. Now, we might look at them and say, okay, if it was me, I would have moved, really. That's the question, really. I mean, there are times that looking at the story, I'm like, oh man, it really resonates that at some point in our lives, we will face situations that seem like a standing in the way of what God has actually promised us. I'm telling you, it's a normal thing. If you haven't faced those kind of challenging situations, right? It's either one, you're under 10, you haven't started paying council tax and bills. People are like, why is this guy talking about council tax? They increased mine. I don't like it. Why? Why should they increase it? So, what am I saying here? What I'm saying is this. As you and I plan to move forward, as we have expectations in our lives that we are happy about, that we're excited about, can I just tell you something? And I'm going to tell you this with my American voice. Sorry if you're new to this church. You just have to excuse me. I do this American impression. I'm not American, by the way. I'm pure, mixed, British and another country. But, I'm actually on TikTok, you know. I don't want people to be saying, what kind of church is this? But I'm going to do it anyway. Yes, and it's like, oh, man, all this up and down, moving forward kind of thing. Ah, Pastor Benson, I don't know. You're just like, you know, and I'm here, and I'm... I remember when we moved from West London to Bristol here to start this church a while ago. And, you know, God had spoken so many things to me personally, to our senior pastor, to say, to tell us about what this church would do, what this church would look like, what we'd be doing, and all that. And we moved to Bristol, my family and I. And I was so excited. I'm still excited now, by the way. And I tell you, for the first few months, it was quite interesting. I mean, we went to the cities. When we arrived in Bristol, we didn't know anybody at all. And I thought, man, when we arrived in Bristol, just put out some flyers, rent a place, and wow. And I remember that for the first month, we had a place. We're not here, there. We're in the city center then. We had a place. And it was my family and I, four of us. I was the preacher, praise and worship person, everything. One man, you know. And I'd be there, would give out flyers. First month, just four of us. I'd play the guitar. Second month, four of us. Ah, like, hey, you know. Then third month, then my daughter asked me a question, innocent question one day. You know, and she said, Dad, I'm not quite sure she remembers. She says, Dad, is it just going to be four of us again today? Because the church that we're coming from in London, it's like real out there. They're like 2,000 to 3,000 people on any given Sunday. It's like hyped. The choir alone, like 70 people in the choir. I mean, in that, you know, I was a pastor there, but like admin kind of like pastor. You know, I'd come to church in the morning in London. By the way, I'm not moaning. I would go to church in the morning in London. They would usher me to the front. After that, be like, oh, Pastor Benson, would you like some tea or biscuits and all that? So yeah, tea, please, you know? Well, I was like, you know, I mean, the kids as well, you know, they would go to their Sunday school and all that. So here we were. God had sent Pastor B to Bristol. Then she asked me this question, the third month around. She said, Dad, it's just going to be four of us again today. What was my response? Standard response. As a faith-filled pastor, I said, you know what? Where two or three, I got it. God is there. What happened there? God is there. You know, we're going to, you know. But after that, I went back home. I said, God, what's happening here? What is really happening here? Should we just go back to London and just call it quits? Like Israel, I was placed in the same place where what I was seeing at that point and in other areas of my life, what I was seeing at that point wasn't tallying with what God had told me. You know, what I was seeing was not tallying with what God had put in my spirit. And at that point, I was like these guys. I had a choice. Call it quits and just carry on with my normal life, no expectation, no excitement, nothing. And I'll have been in London. I wouldn't have been here. You wouldn't have been here. Do you understand what I'm saying? So for you, it might be different. It might be another kind of expectation that you have. But what I want to say is this, for each and every one of us, as we determine in our hearts to move forward, which is the theme for this month, and the theme for this year is that it's the year of increase. You and I will be faced with situations where we'll have to make a choice. And that choice is going to be this. Do I move forward? Do I believe that God really is moving me forward? Or do I settle? These guys settled. They settled. And unfortunately for a lot of them, they didn't see that promised land. I was just thinking, oh my goodness, what would it have been? And this is me personally, I reflect like this sometimes. What would it have been like if I didn't, and there's so many other things that God has asked me to do, if I didn't do this, if I didn't come to Bristol, if I didn't bear the whole disappointment of saying I'm putting so much effort, but you know, if I didn't bear that and move through that, and I just remained in London, then I become 60, 70, 80, 90, 100, if you add what people call Jara. If you don't know what Jara is, don't worry. 100, then I'm sleeping one day, then God just gives me a vision and says, Pastor Benson, this is what your life could have been if you had borne the pressure and agreed with me to move forward. I wonder how I would have felt being 100, seeing that, wow, I didn't move forward. Why? For a number of reasons. How would I feel? How would you feel? How did these guys feel? So, I've told us a story. We'll look at a number of things in the next 10 or so minutes to help us. I'll look at three things here. I'll call it, the first one is why. No, not why. What happened to them? The second thing is, why did it happen? And the third thing is, how could they have dealt with it? What, why, and how? WWH. I like the sound of that. Hashtag social media person, WWH. And if anybody has taken already, tell them it's copyrighted by me. So what happened to them? Like I said, life happened to them. Life happened to them. When they were trying to move forward, the realities of life hit them. The Bible says in John chapter 16, I believe verse 33, Jesus said, in this world, in this life, you will have trouble. Not may. Maybe not saying if you're nice or if. No, it says you will have trouble. I will have trouble. But it says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So what happened to these folks that they just couldn't, they were stuck? Well, simple. Life happened to them the same way life happens to you and I. That's what happened to them. Why did they back out? A number of things. So we've looked at what happened, life. Number two, why did it happen to them? How, you know, why did it happen to them? The first thing is this, they were afraid. They were afraid. They were afraid. They were like, man, this is too much. I can't deal with this. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. So fear is a reality. When you switch on the news sometimes, when you hear things, it just sometimes just puts fear in you and I. And it's like, man, this is just... So fear is real. Fear of the future. Fear to say, my goodness, what's going to happen to me in the future? Fear of what am I going to do? Will this thing happen? If I don't get this, my life might be in ruins. And these thoughts begin to float around in our minds and our hearts begin to be filled with fear that paralyzes us and just says, look, I'm just going to do the safest thing I can do. They were afraid. The other thing was this. Even though they believed that God wanted to help them to move into the promises that he had made for them or about them, they had a lot of doubt. I took the liberty of getting the definition of doubt on Google. It says, doubt is a state of mental uncertainty, hesitation, a lack of conviction between belief and disbelief regarding facts, actions, or decisions. It involves questioning the truth or the likelihood of something, often leading to a pause in action or a need for further evidence. It represents a suspension of judgment. So what doubt does is you begin to question, and everything you ought to do, every expectation you ought to move with, becomes suspended. Suspended. Frozen. That's what doubt does. So these guys were weighing all the options. Like, man, the people we saw in this is too much for us. And they were like, man, what do we do? God, we know God said this thing. We know that God said at the beginning, this is the year of increase. We're going to move forward. But I'm not quite sure about that. See what's happening. See, and in that state of consideration, doubt causes the individual to freeze and suspend everything with regards to moving forward. So they had a lot of doubts. I don't blame them, to be frank. Man, if it was me, I wonder what I would have done. I wonder what I would have done. So they were fearful and they had a lot of doubt, I tell you. It's like, man, last year I prayed and that thing didn't happen. Am I sure it's going to happen this year? Doubt begins to stick to rear its head in our situation. You know what I mean? One of the scriptures we saw this month was Isaiah. It says, forget the former things. If it didn't happen last year, and I'm not hyping you, by the way, it's like, hype man. No, I'm not hyping you. Forget it. This is a new year. So they had a lot of doubt. And still looking at why did they back out? They were afraid. They had a lot of doubt. And they focused on every other thing apart from God. The key word there is focused. And John chapter 20, verse 29, Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen yet believed. So they focused on the physical things around them. And Jesus was saying that, look, you and I need to come to the place that even though we have not seen what God has spoken yet, that we stay there. That we stay there. Do you understand? So we've said three things this morning. What happened? Life. Why did they back out? They were afraid. They had doubt. And they focused so much on everything apart from God. You know what I do sometimes? This is me personally. For example, when I watch the news and all these things, but I do headlines just to see what's happening. But I try really not to focus too much on all the bad things that are happening in this world. I'm telling you, that's my own personal approach. They did this. This happened. They did this. They killed someone down at one place. I mean, we empathize with that. We just don't ignore it. This happened. 30 people lost their jobs. 1,000. They're planning to sack 1,000 people somewhere. They're planning. Yeah, the information is good, but I personally do not. I will not click that thing and read why they want to fire 1,000 people. Which area is it? Is it near where I live? Is it near? No, I don't need that information. Because I do not want to focus on these things too much. I want to focus on God and what God has said. So these guys focused so much on all the challenges, and they lost sight of what God actually was pushing them to do. So that was the why. So the third thing is this. I've said, okay, life happened to them. What? Why did it happen? Well, they were afraid. So how do we overcome these challenges so that you and I can move forward? How do we move forward realistically? Yes, there are times that we're afraid because we're human. That's the truth. There are times that we have doubt. And that's okay because we're human as well. There are times that we are overloaded with all these things happening. So we're human. So God isn't saying here that, look, these things won't happen to you. He says, John chapter 33, he says, you will experience trouble. So if you are experiencing any form of doubt or fear concerning any situation or anything you're expecting, you're in good company. Why? Look at the person who's sitting next to you and just say to them, "Ah, I'm sure you don't doubt. I'm sure you have no fears." You're like, 100%. And if they laugh or they smile, they sniggle, or they giggle, is it sniggle? They giggle like they're doing now. It's answered to say, look, we all go through it. We all go through it. So it's not a big deal. Tell the person next to you, it's not a big deal. Tell them, give me the American voice. Say, it's not a big deal. Oh, when I wake up in the morning and I say to myself, how am I going to do that? And I'm afraid. Oh, I just say, Pastor B, you know what? It's not a big deal. It's not. That voice, who's that voice? That's Mr. MC. We'll call you out now. So, even though I'm saying it's not a big deal, I'm not meaning that in a manner to downplay whatever fears we have. But what I'm just saying is that it's part of life. It's part of life. I'm telling you. Fear, doubt, all these things, it's part of life. But how do we move away from fear and doubt? A number of points, and we will pray. You know, you and I need to do one thing, a number of things. I'll read from 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. It says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out all fear. I'll stop there. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, the first part. It says, perfect love drives out all fear. So the first thing that you and I need to realize is that, one, God loves you and I. He sent Jesus, his son, to die for us. And there's a scripture that says, if he sent his son to die for us, how will he not also freely give us all things? So God has your best interest at heart. God isn't just looking at you and I and say, try harder. Let's see if you can really make it. No. God shed this blood of his son for you and I because he loves us. So God has your back. You are not alone. God has your back. God has an expectation for you. Do you understand? So the first thing is for you and I to realize that God loves you and I, and he's concerned for us. And as we meditate on that, as we reflect on the fact that God loves you and I, and he wants the best for us, it will begin to calm you and I down in those moments that we are experiencing fear and doubt. That God has your back. He has my back. He's concerned. He hasn't just left you and I alone. Do you understand? Then the second thing around, okay, how do we do it? We need to also spend time with God as well and build our relationship with God. Psalm 9 verse 10. It says, those who know your name trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. It says, those who know your name. So we need to get to know God more. I'm telling you. The more we get to know God and his character, the easier it will be for us to be in a place of trust. So if you and I know God more, as we pray, as we study the Bible, and as he reveals himself to us, it will be easier for us to trust him. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to stop there this morning. So this morning, we're looking at moving forward. And what I've said is, as you and I make up our minds to move forward, as we have in areas of our lives that are pertinent to us, Jesus says you will face challenges, but he says, be of good cheer because he has overcome the world. So I've said, look, as we move forward, we're faced with a decision. Do you settle? Do you just settle and just say, well, whatever will happen will happen. I'm not going to give myself any false hope. Or do we move forward believing that what God has said to us will come to pass? Knowing that, one, life happens. Number two, we experience fear and doubt. But number three, knowing that God can move us forward as we focus our attention on him. And as we do that, he begins to deal with the doubts, the fears in our heart, because we trust him. But what I'll say is this. Not but, I'll say and. What I'll say is this. It will be worth it. The pain, the challenges, as you decide with me that irrespective of those things, I am going to move forward. I'm going to trust God that every expectation that I have, God will help me to bring it to pass. In Jesus' name. This morning, I would just like us to rise and pray.